Last week's gospel reading was essentially the origin story of Jesus' first three disciples. After a long night of bad fishing, Jesus encourages them to go back out and drop their nets again. The catch now is so enormous, it strains the nets and even with help begins to sink the boats. Simon Peter and his two partners were overwhelmed. They were amazed. And when they finally brought the boats in, all three of them, the gospel says, left everything and followed Jesus. When we visualize this scene, I imagine most of us are thinking about what these three walked away from. A family business. An incredible catch of fish that was likely worth a lot of money. We might picture all their equipment, their boats and their nets, all valuable assets. Our first pass might have us overlay the world we know onto theirs. Likely paying attention to all the stuff we might assume they owned, their financial security. But our world of today and the world of first century Galilee are entirely dissimilar. Fishermen then would not have been small business owners. In fact, they would have owned little to nothing. Even a hefty catch would have barely given those who did the fishing enough to survive on. After all, the taxes were extracted and the fees paid for the right to fish, etc., etc. I mention all this because what we hear in our biblical texts, given the minds that we bring to them shaped by our own world, can actually have us miss possibly a key teaching here. When those first disciples left everything, they left a life of grinding hard labor. The daily threat of not having enough to feed themselves or their families. They left unrelenting demands of an overbearing system that trapped the majority of people in brutal poverty, and hardship and suffering. Although not actually imprisoned or actually enslaved, the lives of most people in Jesus' time were far from free. This is what they left. And by leaving everything, they were also leaving their inherited understanding of the world and what they believed their place was in it all. They left behind everything that would have them live a certain familiar and predictable way. To follow Jesus, they left behind their assumptions about what life is and how it should or could be lived. All important comforts, even today. Now, this might seem like it's an easier leave behind moment than walking away from all the stuff you actually own. But I think we can all attest to how incredibly difficult it is to change our minds completely, especially about the way things are, or how it all should be, and how we each fit into it all. Ordinarily, leaving everything for an unimagined future would be a risk far too great for most of us to be able to take. And that moment, that first step of a brand new way can be a rush. It's a clean slate, a new page, a fresh start. It's a new day. Running on hypercharged instinct and adrenaline, the journey begins, leaving everything, the stuff of life, the stuff of the mind, can at least initially, surely, feel like a step into absolute freedom. All the burdens of life have been set down. True freedom is right up ahead. But it's not yet. If freedom is the promised land, then in the storytelling tradition of our biblical texts, the wilderness is unavoidable. Soon the initial joy at breaking free will give way to doubt and disorientation. The way will seem unclear. Confidence at having made the right choice will start to wane. Discomfort sets in, and then perhaps frustration. But it's all still so hard. Perhaps life before wasn't so bad after all. At least we understood how everything worked. After years in the wilderness, the ancient Israelites cried out to go back to Egypt, back to all the things they missed about their own life, even though that meant going back into enslavement. The wilderness is hard. And so we might imagine that, like the ancient Israelites, when the initial surge of freedom passes, the disciples were likely left disoriented, afraid even, grieving all they've no longer got, while struggling to keep trusting and keep believing. Their sentence-making minds unclear on how to justify what they've done. Their imagination struggling to envision what could possibly lay ahead. Suddenly, this freedom has morphed into an extreme kind of poverty. They've set down all they had, stuff, ideas, expectations, even their understanding, not knowing what's ahead can leave the mind starving for answers. A more distracting and demanding hunger than that of an empty belly. And the body can begin to crave the comforts of the familiar, feeling a deep grief for all that was once known and predictable. And Jesus knows this. And so we come to today's gospel reading. After calling his disciples away from everything they have ever known, aware of the irresistible power of that initial call and the inevitable wilderness struggle that lay ahead, Jesus assures them that they are blessed in their poverty, in their hunger, and in their grief. Not blessed in the way that the word often gets used today. Being blessed here is most definitely not some comforting divine consolation for extreme hardship and suffering. Jesus is speaking here specifically to his disciples, not to the crowd. He's not speaking generally to those in poverty, to all those who don't have enough to eat, all those who are afflicted and weeping as they suffer in life. He's speaking specifically to his disciples, those folks who have responded to the call and left everything to follow him. The Greek word for blessed, used here by the writer of Luke, has the same meaning as the word happy used by the psalmist, Psalm 1, word 1. We heard it just a bit ago. Happy or blessed is our translation of the Hebrew word ashrei. It is a very important word in scripture indeed. Ashrei is perhaps best understood as a deep sense of peace, an abiding rightness that's found when living most fully into our relationship with God, our covenantal relationship with God and with one another. It is in the way in which we choose to live that yields ashrei. It is the fruit of a life. And ashrei is a promised land of sorts, one that can only be reached by choosing to stay in the wilderness, having been called by faith. The happiness, blessedness of ashrei can only be known if we choose the poverty of leaving behind the ways and the thinking we've always known, the way we've always done it, the way it's always been. We choose the hunger of not having the answers, of not knowing how it will all pan out. We choose the grief of separation from all that is predictable and familiar. The call of our faith leads us all to this place. But we won't all choose to take the risk of leaving everything to follow Jesus. Being a Christian is risky if we choose the way. We don't know how it will be or feel or where we'll end up. But our faith binds us to the promise of ashrei, of an abiding deep peace, rightness, strength in our inseparability from God. This is our promised land in which we will think, act, choose, set free from the life-limiting churn of the self-obsessed cultural forces that we live amidst. Being in the world right now is hard. If we want true, lasting change, true peace and justice, we are called to transform in love, by faith, trusting that this is how we will collectively transform the world. Yes, it feels very risky to think about leaving everything to follow Jesus, to choose to go into the wilderness. Lent is coming. This is the call. And ashrei is the promise.